This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a closer look at stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. If it seems like you're seeing more people with tissue boxes and cough drops than ever, then you're actually not wrong. The flu season this year has hit harder than in years past. According to the latest data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, this year's flu season, which is still in full force, mind you, is the most intense the U.S. has seen in 15 years. That's determined by looking at the percentage of doctor's office visits driven by flu-like symptoms. The last time that the current level of doctor's office visits was this high was in 2009 and 2010. At that time, the swine flu pandemic was at its peak. Medical experts warned back in November about a tridemic that would feature the current strain of influenza A, RSV, and COVID-19. All of these viruses were raging before recently declining. This situation has left parents, educators, and employers worried. 43 states reported high or very high flu activity throughout the first week of February. And as a whole, the CDC is estimating that this year there have been at least 24 million flu cases. While the flu season has traditionally peaked in February, experts are still wondering why Americans were hit so hard by the virus this year. To offer some insight, Dr. Carla Garcia-Carreno, Director of Infection Prevention and Control at the Children's Medical Center in Plano, Texas, joined Odyssey.
We learned a lot about things like social distancing and staying away from each other during COVID. Is that something that should be implemented even slightly in schools when it's the flu season?
Well, let me tell you, everything we learned for COVID applies to influenza. The good hand washing or hand gel if you don't have water and soap, avoiding areas that are crowded, especially if there are sick people there. If you're sick, also prevent from exposing others and using masks to prevent others to be exposed. And in the most important thing is to vaccinate. Get the influenza shot, get the COVID shots. They're still proven that they will prevent severe disease. So it's really important to remember all of that.
That's one thing that is always a bit of a controversy because people think, hey, I get the flu shot, I'm not going to get the flu at all. That's not the case.
That is not the case. You're totally right. It will decrease, though, the severity of the disease. It will prevent the patient that gets the flu to get admitted to the hospital or need oxygen, and in general will prevent from a severe case of influenza.
Speaking of which, do we not take the flu seriously enough?
You know, hard to say. I think, for example, the belief or the trust that we have in the influenza vaccine is not as great. Usually, and every season, less than half of the population will get the flu shot. But the flu needs to be taken seriously because even people without predisposing conditions for severe disease may be really severely affected and admitted to the hospital. And especially those that population that may be vulnerable to severe disease needs to have special attention. So we need to give the attention that is needed.
Did the medical profession learn more about treating these kinds of respiratory diseases because of COVID? Did you learn lessons from COVID?
Well, I guess that an infectious disease, we always knew what influenza could do to the population and that we need to prevent influenza. And we are always advocates for the vaccine and hand washing and why not. But I think that education and having a reminder and making sure that everybody knows that we can still protect each other, I think those were the lessons for COVID.
At what point does the flu become so severe that it requires hospitalization or going to the emergency room?
Yeah, and that's a really important question, and parents should know, and they need to identify these warning signs when they can should take their kids either to seek medical attention with their primary cares or even go to an emergency room. And those warning signs are signs of difficulty breathing. If they're breathing fast without fever, if they're pulling hard to breathe, meaning that they have retractions or breathing with their bellies, or they have nasal flaring, those are signs of difficulty breathing. If they have changes in color, also if their mental status decreases, those are signs of difficulty breathing. And also they need to be aware that these kids may become dehydrated because they are not going to feed well, they're not going to drink fluids very well. So all of those are also signs for learning when to take to the doctor if they have less number of wet diapers, if they have crying without tears or dry saliva. All of those will be warning signs for dehydration and they need to seek medical care.
While the mortality rate for the virus is lowest for those ages 1 through 17, there are still cases that can turn deadly. So far this year, the CDC reports that 57 children have died from the flu. School-age kids who are between 5 and 17 are the most likely demographic to catch the virus. In years past, kids have accounted for nearly a quarter of all flu cases. This year appears to be no different. The Associated Press reported that some schools have considered closing their doors for a little bit to give their student populations time to recover. Pediatric emergency physician Dr. Christina Johns joined Odyssey to give her perspective on how the flu season is impacting America's youth.
How has the flu season differed from past years for children?
Well, you know, we have seen quite a surge this year. It seems as though almost everyone coming in who is sick is influenza positive right now. So we are seeing more cases, and kids who are really down for about a week. It is oftentimes not just a 2 or 3 day fever-like illness, but they're really down and exhausted and having a fever and coughing for a full week.
So you're definitely seeing more children coming in with the flu than you would in a typical year.
That is very true. True. This year, we are in quite a surge.
Do we know why the numbers have been so high this year compared to recent years?
You know, there's a lot of speculation about that. I think that one thing that we can point to, some data, the CDC recently released that numbers that this year we have seen 5% fewer children get their flu vaccine. And so with fewer folks getting vaccinated, that means that there's more opportunity for the virus to run rampant longer and be circulating more widely in our communities.
I know it's a little late. We typically think of getting our flu shots in the fall. Is it too late for parents to get their kids vaccinated?
You know, I'm so glad you brought this up. It is not too late at all. It takes only about 14 days after the vaccination to get the full scope of immunity that the vaccine offers. And frequently, we see the flu season have a double peak. We're in the first peak now, and then later on in the winter or early spring, we see a second peak. So it's definitely not too late. Please get it. Protect yourself. It certainly leads to a milder illness.
I wonder, is there anything about this year's strain specifically that makes it more infectious than past strains?
You know, that's something that we haven't necessarily seen yet from a surface protein standpoint. But I think that the fact that we have fewer folks vaccinated, the fact that we are all certainly well out of the pandemic, not wearing masks, and we're back to kind of the old days of where we saw a very significant flu season.
Are you finding parents who bring in their children and saying they're not vaccinated, are they saying why?
I think there is a couple of reasons. For some, it's just purely practical. Oh, we didn't think about it, and it just slipped our mind, and we didn't get around to it. There are some who are very intentional, who feel like, hey, the flu isn't a big deal. It's just chicken soup and rest. And that is the case for some, although for some it is clearly not. And I think there's also general overall a mistrust and lack of confidence in vaccines overall. And that is certainly a shame, but I think it's contributing to the sense of vaccine hesitancy and lack of uptake.
As a pediatrician, how are you in the medical community dealing with this? I mean, you've talked about the influx of sick children coming in this year. Is there enough staff to handle everybody?
Well, you know, we prepare for this every year. We know that flu season is definitely a thing where we see increase in volume. And so we prepare for it from a staffing standpoint. It sure is exhausting trying to make sure that we get to everybody, but inevitably we do. And it is a source of concern for us in the medical community, of course, with the lack of vaccine uptake. The best that we can do is hear people's concerns, try to address them, meet them where we are, and give our best care.
Influenza A isn't the only version of the flu that's leaving Americans concerned. A strain of the bird flu has left chicken flocks across the nation decimated. And to the dismay of people who love eating eggs for breakfast, especially among egg-laying birds. As a result, egg prices have shot up at the grocery store, leaving Americans frustrated and some grocers limiting the amount you can buy to prevent hoarding. Despite its name, the bird flu has also been spreading among other animals throughout the last 6 months. That includes dairy cows and even cats. Peter Chin Hong, an infectious disease expert at UCSF, recently gave an update on the bird flu while speaking with Odyssey.
What do you make of the bird markets in New York being shut down?
Well, I think that it is a measure for the time being until they figure out how to quarantine, sterilize all of the areas. But again, like the cases in New York bird markets, like the cases we've been seeing in cows and chickens and the stray cat in San Mateo and zoo animals, there is a risk that we can't really help that much. We can only mitigate, and that is because wild birds are spreading it around the country and around the world.
Now, we understand that the family that had taken in that stray cat in Half Moon Bay, they are not experiencing any kind of symptoms, but the notion is, as we understand it, is that cats can spread the virus to humans?
Cats can potentially spread it to humans just like dairy cows and chickens can. And it's important to know that cats can get really sick with bird flu. So if you're seeing a cat not acting appropriately, of course, there have been domesticated cats, of course, that have also been infected. You know, when you take it to the vet, be very, very careful. Wear PPE and alert the veterinarian staff that that might be a possibility.
I wonder if vets and animal care places are ready for this kind of stuff. I mean, we don't really know exactly how much it spread.
Yes. I mean, I think we're still trying to understand all of the risk factors. We don't really understand how it's even spread from cow to cow because a lot of farms have been using really strict biosecurity measures by isolating farms and limiting traffic coming in and out. But yet cows are still spreading it from one cow to another. So I think there's still a lot that needs to be understood. But again, you know, there's still no need to panic from a general population perspective. We have drugs, we have a test, we have vaccines in stockpiles. So I think it's just a matter of connecting the dots.
Now, this is the same strain, though, that we're talking about here mostly, because we do know that there is a different bird flu strain that came up recently.
Yes. So most of the strains that we've been seeing is something called B3.13. That's the one in dairy cows. But the one you were talking about, D1.1, that's the one found in Nevada, and that's more related to wild birds. That's why, you know, the wild birds and what's happening there is becoming more increasing. You know, we're looking at that more closely because that made the person in Louisiana and a teenager in British Columbia very sick, this particular strain. So again, there are two types circulating and both can cause particularly cats and birds to get really, really ill and some mammals to be less ill so far. But we're watching for mutations.
We're still living in a bit of the shadow of the COVID-19 pandemic. This current flu season is nowhere near the death toll or overall severity of the pandemic. But the question has to be asked, have we started to take flu season less seriously because of the pandemic? The National Foundation for Infectious Diseases shared in a report last year that heading into flu season, only 17% of Americans were concerned about catching the virus. On top of that, only 16% were worried about RSV and 17% were worried about pneumococcal disease. After spending more than a year shut down and more than 3 years implementing masking, social distancing, and any other pandemic-era policies you can think of, Americans might have become a bit too brash in how we view other viruses, including the common flu. Of the 24 million cases of the flu we touched on at the start of the episode, the CDC estimates that 310,000 resulted in hospitalizations, and 13,000 resulted in death. So any belief that the sickness is, and I'm doing air quotes right now, just the flu, is a dangerous myth. That's according to Vaccinate Your Family, a nonprofit founded by former First Lady Rosalynn Carter. According to the group, the kind of thinking that minimizes the flu leads to thousands of deaths every year in the U.S. And according to Vaccinate Your Family, it's our collective responsibility to take it seriously. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts to stay informed.